Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence.
Shalom and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. Each week's program will build upon the information and prayers from the week before, so if this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13 through 17. You are a part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire Word. Yeshua as our King and Redeemer is what we are going to focus on for today's program. We are just finishing up the time of the wheat harvest. Depending upon when and what radio station you are listening to this program on, and what calendar you are observing, you have either just memorialized Shavuot, or you soon will be. Shavuot is representative in Scripture of the wheat harvest. Shavuot is when the first fruits of that year's wheat harvest are offered up to Yahweh. You could not eat of that year's wheat until after Shavuot. The Feast of First Fruits during the week of unleavened bread is the day that the first fruits of the barley harvest were offered up to Yahweh. Of course, the Feast of First Fruits was also the day Yeshua was resurrected from the dead. Basically, from the Feast of First Fruits through Shavuot and even a little after Shavuot was all considered the spring harvest season, the time of the barley and the wheat harvests. The wheat harvest would oftentimes begin before Shavuot and would not end until after Shavuot. However, you couldn't eat the wheat until the wheat of first fruits offering was made at Shavuot. For a good explanation of ancient Israel harvest seasons, you can visit www.gci.org/law/festivals/harvest. This is a Christian website with a wonderful explanation of the harvest seasons. Sadly, the site goes on to tell everyone why Christians don't need to honor the biblical feast days. However, their synopsis of the actual harvest of ancient Israel I found very helpful. I just chewed the meat and spit out the bones. We can learn something from almost anyone, even if it is only learning what not to do. Contrary to the teaching on that website that the feasts are not for Christians, we as grafted in natural or wild branch children of Israel, according to Romans 11, are told in Exodus 34:22 to perform the festival of weeks for yourself, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year. This would be the mandate to observe Shavuot, which is the festival of weeks, and as we can see from verse 22 in Exodus 34, it is also the time of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. Verse 22 also mandates us to perform the festival of ingathering at the turn of the year, which is Sukkot. Of course, we all know that the Torah was given at Mount Sinai on Shavuot, and also that the Ruach, or Holy Spirit, was poured out on the disciples and the first 3,000 believers in Jerusalem on Shavuot, which was also known as Pentecost in the Greek, but is there even more significance to the time of the wheat harvest? Absolutely, there is. There is more. Now that we can see Shavuot is the time of the offering up of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and that Shavuot takes place during the wheat harvest, let's look at other significant biblical events that have taken place during the wheat harvest for a picture of what may also be taking place in our day during the same time period each year, and possibly especially this year. Genesis 30, verse 14, "And Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found love apples in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, 'Please give me some of your son's love apples.'" This is the first mention in the Bible that I found of an event taking place during the wheat harvest, even before the commandments to obey the feast days. In this passage, during the wheat harvest, the very time of the year we are entering right now, is when Leah traded love apples to Rachel and then conceived Jacob's fifth son, Issachar. I find it interesting that in 1 Chronicles 12:32, we are told the children of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Is the conception of Issachar during the wheat harvest perhaps a hint that we need to understand the significance of the time of the wheat harvest and what we ought to do? Next, we have Judges 15:1. "And it came to be, after some time in the days of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, 'Let me go into my wife, into her room.' But her father would not permit him to go in." When we read further, we see that Samson's wife's father had given her to Samson's friend as a wife. So in vengeance, Samson tied live foxtails together and lit them on fire, setting them loose to run through the Philistines' grain fields, probably the wheat that was ready to harvest, though the King James Version says corn, other versions say grain, and after all, it was the time of the wheat harvest, as we're told. Regardless, Samson burned up all of the Philistines' grain fields, as well as the vineyards and olive trees. All of that year's crops remaining to be harvested were burned up in judgment against an unfaithful bride and her father during the wheat harvest. The rest of the story is quite interesting, but too lengthy to go into today. Next, we have the story of Ruth, beginning during the barley harvest, which begins at the Feast of First Fruits, when Ruth and Naomi returned to Israel from Moab. Ruth's story continues through both the barley and the wheat harvests, culminating with the redemption of Ruth by her near-kinsman redeemer Boaz and her marriage to Boaz and subsequent conception of Obed, the grandfather of King David, also taking place during the time of the spring harvest of the barley and the wheat. Ruth and Naomi made teshuva, or return to Jerusalem and the people of Israel, during the barley harvest, and then were redeemed along with their inheritance during the wheat harvest, or time of Shavuot, shortly after which the grandfather of King David was conceived. This is a great time to reread the book of Ruth in context of the seasons during which it took place. I will just read the highlights since we don't have time to read it all during this program. Ruth 1:22. "Thus Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the fields of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest." Ruth 2:1-3. "And Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of great wealth, of the clan of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him whose eyes I find favor.' So she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' And she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. As it turned out, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, the near relative of Elimelech. When Boaz, the near kinsman redeemer of Naomi, saw Ruth gleaning in his fields in Ruth 2:8-14, Boaz said to Ruth, 'You have heard, have you not, my daughter? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and you shall go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink from what the young men have drawn.' And she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, seeing I am a foreigner?' And Boaz answered and said to her, 'I have been told all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. Yahweh repay your work. Your reward is complete from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge.' And she said, 'Let me find favor in your eyes, my master, because you have comforted me, and have spoken to the heart of your female servant, and I am not like one of your female servants.' And Boaz said to her, Come here at mealtime. Then you shall eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he passed roasted grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and had left over. Then skipping down to verse 23 in chapter 2, we are told she, Ruth, stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean till the completion of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, but she dwelt with her mother-in-law. In chapters 3 and 4 of Ruth, Ruth goes to Boaz the night of the wheat harvest threshing celebration, or Erev Shavuot, the evening beginning Shavuot, as instructed by Naomi, and asks him to be her kinsman redeemer, which he agrees to as long as the nearer kinsman chooses not to. The next day, Boaz completes Ruth and Naomi's redemption on Shavuot and takes Ruth as his wife, shortly after which she conceives Obed, the grandfather of King David. Redemption, marriage, and conception during the wheat harvest. Next we have 1 Samuel 6:13, and they of Beit Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted their eyes and saw the ark, and rejoiced to see it. The Ark of the Covenant had been stolen by the Philistines, and destruction came upon all those that had possession of it. It was repeatedly sent away someplace else each time. Finally, after staying out in the fields of the Philistines for 7 months, it was returned to Israel during the time of the wheat harvest. I'm sure there is a prophetic significance to the timing of the return of the Ark to Israel during the wheat harvest, especially considering 7 months prior to Shavuot is the month of Tishri. It is likely during the fall feast month of Tishri that the Ark of the Covenant containing the tablets of the commandments of Yahweh was stolen or lost from Israel, and then returned or restored 7 months later during the wheat harvest or time of Shavuot. Yah willing, we shall someday see. Interesting so far, but this next scripture in Samuel is where I actually began this study. 1 Samuel 12:17-18. Is today not the wheat harvest? Let me call to Yahweh, so that he sends thunder and rain. Know then and see that your evil is great, which you have done in the eyes of Yahweh, in asking for yourselves a king. And Samuel called Yahweh, and Yahweh sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared Yahweh and Samuel. At the end of chapter 11 of 1 Samuel, Israel had just rejected the kingship of Yahweh and had asked Samuel to appoint over them a human king, just like all the other nations had. Since chapter 12 tells us Samuel answered their request for a king during the wheat harvest, we can see they asked for the king sometime during the barley harvest after the Feast of First Fruits, and this request was being granted during the wheat harvest. When it's time for wheat to be harvested, you can tell the difference between the wheat and the tares because the wheat heads get so full and heavy they begin to bend down or bow down, and the tares don't. A heavy thunderstorm during the time of the wheat harvest would be devastating agriculturally and economically. Those heavy heads of grain would be snapped off and destroyed in the mud. Samuel's calling down of this great thunderstorm at this time of the wheat harvest was a heavy judgment that could lead to financial hardship and famine. The time of the wheat harvest in Israel is normally the dry season. The Israelites certainly understood this to be judgment for their sins, as we see in the next verses, 1 Samuel 12:19-25. And all the people said to Samuel, "Pray for your servants to Yahweh your Elohim that we do not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil of asking for ourselves a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have done all this evil, only do not turn aside from following Yahweh, and you shall serve Yahweh with all your heart, and do not turn aside after worthless matters which do not profit or deliver, for they are worthless. For Yahweh would not cast away his people for his great name's sake, seeing that it pleased Yahweh to make you his people. Also, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Yahweh in ceasing to pray for you, but I shall teach you the good and straight way. Only fear Yahweh, and you shall serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what marvels he has done for you. But if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king are consumed." So far, During the time of the spring harvest, specifically the wheat harvest or time of Shavuot, we have a pagan nation's entire harvest of wheat, grapes, and olives burned up by Samson as judgment against his unfaithful bride and father-in-law. Then we have Ruth leaving her country and family to be joined to Israel during the barley harvest or time of the Feast of First Fruits, and subsequently choosing her Israelite Redeemer and being redeemed along with Naomi and her dead husband's and son's inheritances by Boaz during the wheat harvest. Ruth became Boaz's wife on Shavuot and conceived the grandfather to King David shortly thereafter. Then we see in 1 Samuel 12 that the Ark of the Covenant with the commands of Yahweh was taken from the Israelites during the fall feast month of Tishri and then returned to them during the wheat harvest or time of Shavuot. Later in 1 Samuel, the Israelites chose a king besides Yahweh just prior to the wheat harvest, which was subsequently destroyed by an unseasonal thunderstorm in judgment for their bad choice. Biblically, then, the time of the spring harvest feasts are a time of restoration and redemption, but they are also a time for choosing your Redeemer and your King. We need to be especially careful during this time to choose King Yeshua and not the kings of this earth. If we choose wisely, we will receive redemption and a restoration of our inheritance. If we choose unwisely, we may well see the destruction of our harvests and our economy as we see prophesied in Joel 1:11-20. The farmers are ashamed, the vine dressers wail over the wheat and over the barley, for the harvest of the field is destroyed. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree droops. Pomegranate, also palm and apple tree, all the trees of the field are dried up, because joy has dried up among the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests, wail, you attendants of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, you attendants of my Elohim, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your Elohim. Set apart a fast, call an assembly, gather the elders, all the inhabitants of the land, into the house of Yahweh your Elohim, and cry out to Yahweh. Alas for the day of Yahweh is near, and it comes as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes? Joy and gladness from the house of Elohim. The seed has rotted under their clods. Storehouses are laid waste. Granaries are broken down, for the grain has withered. How the beasts moan. The herds of the cattle are restless because they have no pasture. The flocks of sheep also perish. I cry to you, O Yahweh, for fire has consumed the pastures of the wilderness, and a flame has set on fire all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field cry out to you, for the water streams are dried up, and the fire has consumed the pastures of the wilderness. Joel pretty much sums up the destruction of the harvest during the judgment of Yahweh for choosing a Redeemer and a King unwisely. I believe, based upon verse 13, that this lamenting takes place during Yom Kippur, which is just before Sukkot, the time of fall ingathering, marking the end of the harvest season. They are lamenting because their harvest was destroyed. There will be no ingathering, only famine and financial ruin. Lastly, in 2 Samuel 21, verse 1, "And there was scarcity of food in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David sought the face of Yahweh, and Yahweh answered because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites." Joshua and the leader of his time had unwittingly made a covenant of protection over the Gibeonites when they pretended to be from a far country, but were actually part of the inhabitants of the land that Joshua was supposed to wipe out. Yahweh held the Israelites to this covenant, and evidently King Saul, in his zeal for war, broke the covenant and began killing the Gibeonites. Yahweh held King David and the Israelites accountable. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 2 through 6, King David therefore called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn protection to them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his ardor for the children of Israel and Yehuda. So David said to the Gibeonites, "What should I do for you, and with what do I make atonement, so that you bless the inheritance of Yahweh?" And the Gibeonites said to him, "It is no matter of silver or gold between us and Saul or his house, neither is it for us to put to death any man in Israel." And he said, "Whatever you say, I do for you." And they said to the king, "The man who consumed us and plotted against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in the border of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be given to us, and we shall hang them before Yahweh in Geba of Saul, whom Yahweh chose." And the king said, "I give them." King David took 7 sons of King Saul, and in 2 Samuel 21 verses 9 through 12, King David took 7 sons of King Saul, and in 2 Samuel 21, 9 through 14, gave them into the hand of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them on the hill before Yahweh. So the 7 fell together and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock, from the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured on them from the heavens, and she did not allow the birds of the heavens to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And King David was informed that Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, and the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul, and the bones of Jonathan his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the street of Beth Shan, where the Philistines had hung them up, after the Philistines had struck down Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from there, and they gathered the bones of those who had been hanged, and buried the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son in the land of Benjamin in Tesla, in the tomb of Kish his father, and did all that the king commanded. And after that Elohim heard the prayer for the land. Interesting that the famine caused by Saul's covenant breaking lasted about 3.5 years by the time the latter rains had come after the 7 sons of Saul were hanged at the beginning of the barley harvest. Then after that, for the remainder of chapter 21, King David went to war with the giants of the Philistines and defeated them. Now before we close the show, I do think it's appropriate for us to read Acts chapter 2 and be reminded of that festival of weeks or Shavuot 2,000 years ago, the first one after Yeshua ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. And when the day of the festival of weeks had come, they were all with one mind in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the set-apart Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them to speak. Now in Jerusalem there were dwelling Yehudim, dedicated men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound came to be, the crowd came together and were confused, because every one heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to each other, "Look, are these not all who speak Galileans? And how do we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Aram, Naharim, both Yehuda and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, both Phrygia, Pamphylia, Mitzrayim and the parts of Libya, around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Yehudim and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the great deeds of Elohim." And they were all amazed and were puzzled, saying to each other, "What does this mean?" And others, mocking, said, "They have been filled with sweet wine." But Kepha, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Men of Yehuda and those dwelling in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen closely to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you might imagine, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, says Elohim, that I shall pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also on my male servants and on my female servants I shall pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and splendid day of Yahweh. And it shall be that every one who calls upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Men of Israel, Hear these words, Yeshua of Nazareth, a man from Elohim, having been pointed out to you by mighty works and wonders and signs, which Elohim did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. This one, given up by the set purpose and foreknowledge of Elohim, you have impaled and put to death through the hands of lawless men. Him Elohim raised up.
Well, we're all out of time. Goodbye for now, and Yah willing, I look forward to praying and studying in agreement with Yahweh's word with all of you again next week. Again, if this is your first time listening, please download and listen to our preceding programs at www.hiswordheals.com. Until next week, blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.